Our first agenda item for this afternoon is the SSC report. Dr. LaGault, the floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for inviting me to come and speak today. My name is Chris LaGault. I work for the Northeast Fisheries Science Center, and today I'm here representing the Scientific and Statistical Committee. I have two presentations to give today, one on the Northeast Multispecies Fishery, or the groundfish report, and the second on the whiting. And so after careful deliberation with RIP, we decided to do them in alphabetical order, and I'll be presenting the groundfish report first. My presentation was handed out, I believe, just before lunch. So you should have a copy of that, and the reports themselves should be in your binder. Okay. The request from the council to the SSC was simply to recommend the acceptable biological catch for all 20 stocks within the Northeast Multispecies Fishery, FMP. They are separated into three distinct groups. The first is 12 stocks that were last assessed during GARM 3 using analytical assessments but have not been assessed since then. The second set is three index-based assessment stocks. And the third set are stocks which have been updated or have been assessed since the GARM 3. And I'll be addressing each of these in turn in my presentation. In terms of the information flow, we had a meeting to provide guidance to the plan development team in June that the plan development team was augmented with some additional members, and we provided guidance to that group in August regarding some of the work they'd done regarding projection methodologies. And finally, we met in September to set the ABCs. So the first group that I'll be discussing are the 12 stocks that were last assessed at GARM 3 with the analytical assessments. These are both cod stocks, both haddock stocks, two of the yellowtail flounder stocks, witch flounder, American plaice, white hake, Acadian redfish, Atlantic halibut, and Atlantic wolffish. So for all 12 of these stocks, fishing year 2012 acceptable biological catch was previously set as part of Framework 44. These ABCs were set according to a projection based on 75% of the FMSY for that stock. For 11 of these 12 stocks, we had no basis for altering the advice. The extensive projection methodology work conducted by the augmented PDT showed that there was not the ability to improve our projections by including recent observed catch or trying to incorporate survey information in terms of performance of the projections. And so for 11 of the 12, we stuck with what had been set as part of Framework 44. The one exception was Georges Bank Cod, where we did have a piece of information that I'll go to in a bit of more detail in just a minute. And that provided a basis for changing our previous advice. For all 12 of these stocks, update assessments will be conducted during the winter of this year. So there will be update assessments to provide ABCs for fishing years 2013 and 2014. And for that reason, the SSC did not provide values at this time because we felt that the projections that had been used to set the 2012 just became too unreliable to use to continue projecting them out to 2013 and 2014. So the one exception was Georges Bank Cod. And the TRAC, the Transboundary Resource Assessment Committee, met in June of this year and assessed the Eastern Georges Bank COD. This is a subset of the entire Georges Bank COD stock. And this subset assessment showed very poor status with low biomass and poor recruitment. And what I've included on this figure are two of the panels from the track status report that show the changes in biomass and recruitment on the left-hand side and catch and fishing mortality on the right-hand side. And you can see that biomass and recruitment have both declined dramatically and continue to stay low in recent years, and that fishing mortality is well above the horizontal line, showing the reference point that we're trying to achieve. Based on this information, the SSC set the fishing year 2012 OFL and ABC equal to the fishing year 2011 OFL and ABC. So what this means in a practical sense is that the ABC was set at 5,616 metric tons instead of what the Framework 44 projections showed, that it would continue to increase and allow a catch of 6,214 metric tons. So this was the one exception we had for this first set of stocks, and it was based on having an assessment for part of the stock, that's not the entire Georges Bank, it's only part of the Georges Bank stock, but that one part did show poor status and poor condition. For the index-based assessments, these were the two windowpane flounders and ocean pout. These were conducted at GARM and have since been updated through the standard index-based approach. And in these cases, we apply the proxy of FMSY and 75% FMSY to estimate the overfishing limit and the acceptable biological catch. There was an added uncertainty in updating these index-based assessments due to the change in our survey vessel at the Northeast Fisheries Science Center. When we changed vessels from the Albatross to the Bigelow, we conducted a very large calibration experiment towing the vessels with their separate nets side by side, and using that information, we were able to estimate conversion factors to convert the catches of the Bigelow to what we would have expected had the Albatross been used. Generally, the Bigelow, with its bigger net, catches more fish than the Albatross, and so had we just applied the straight values from the Bigelow, we would artificially be indicating the stock size was increasing when, in fact, it was just a result of using a bigger net. But once we were once we applied that conversion, then we should have a time series that is consistent, and so any increase or decrease in the time series should reflect what's happening to the population. A note was made in our report regarding ocean pout, one of the three index-based assessments, that there appears to be a possible change in productivity. In the last half dozen or so years, catches have been below the ABC, yet there does not seem to be any rebuilding based on the survey values. And what's shown in the plot in the bottom right-hand corner is just our survey index over time. And you can see that the last six, seven values are low and consistent relative to the previous values in the time series. And this is despite catches being quite low. And for all three index-based stocks, what was done was the most recent value of stock biomass was estimated as a three-year moving average, and then the F or 75% of FMSY was applied, and then that ABC was held fixed for the three fishing year projections, with the understanding that these could be revisited as more survey information is collected in future years. The final group of stocks that we addressed were stocks that have had recent stock assessments. These are the Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder, which was assessed as part of TRAC in this past June, the three winter flounder stocks, Georges Bank, Southern New England, Mid-Atlantic, and Gulf of Maine, which were all assessed during SARC 52, also in June of this year, and the pollock stock, which was assessed as part of SARC 50 in June of 2010. The pollock ABC, OFLs and ABCs have already been set, and so they were included for completeness, but the SSC did not address that stock at all. For the other stocks, the standard projection approaches were used for the OFL and the ABC, with the exception of the Gulf of Maine winter flounder, which I'll address in just a moment. Jim Weinberg noted to me before I gave this presentation that yesterday, when he presented the results of the winter flounder for part SARC 52, he mentioned that the Southern New England Mid-Atlantic winter flounder could not rebuild by its rebuilding date of 2014, even under an F of zero. Yet if you look at the report here, you'll see that there is an ABC with a value that is above zero. The way that came about is that for the Southern New England Mid-Atlantic winter flounder, there's an estimate of unavoidable fishing mortality that was applied, and that was based on the estimated F from the past 2 years when there was a no possession limit for this stock. And the average of those two Fs was used to forecast. So the assumption is there's a certain amount of bycatch that cannot be avoided while fishing for other stocks. And so that was what was used to generate the ABC for Southern New England Mid-Atlantic winter flounder. The Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder was assessed, as I said, as part of the TRAC, and the SSC set the 2012 ABC at 1,150 metric tons. And this was, this value was selected to balance both the risk of overfishing and the probability of stock decline occurring. What I've included on this slide in the bottom two panels, the bottom two graphs, are graphs taken from the track status report and also the reference document, with an additional vertical line showing the SSC ABC of 1,150 metric tons. And what you can see in the left-hand panel, which shows the risk of F exceeding the F reference, is that two of the three models, I should back up, there were three separate models considered during the projections for setting catch advice during the track. And so two of the three show very low probability of overfishing, but the third model shows a quite high level of probability of overfishing when the ABC is set at 1,150 metric tons. In the right-hand panel, what is shown is the probability of change or the change in median biomass, relative change in median biomass that would occur, be expected to occur under different catch levels. And with the vertical line there again at the ABC, you can see that two of the models show the stock to increase. It's above the darker red line of no change there where zero is. And one of the models is below and shows a negative. And so this value tried to balance the possibility of low risk of overfishing and trying to achieve a stock increase This SSC recommendation is the consistent with the track advice. In fact, it's the midpoint of the catch advice provided by track of 900 to 1,400 metric tons. It's also consistent, although not equal to, the TMGC negotiated quota of 900 metric tons, since the council is limited by the SSC ABC determination, but the council can choose below the SSC ABC recommendation. It can choose the TMGC negotiated quota, 900 metric tons. It's all this SSC ABC is also consistent with two rebuilding scenarios that the plan development team presented that would have in 2012 caught 1303 or 1445 metric tons. Since the SSC ABC is below both those values, it also means that the rebuilding it would be expected to be achieved relative to both of those scenarios. For Gulf of Maine winter flounder, there was no analytical assessment accepted in the SARC, despite quite a bit of work trying to get one to hold together. There were conflicting signals in the data that prevented the acceptance of a final analytical assessment. So instead, what was done was that stock biomass was estimated from our survey using a catchability coefficient that was borrowed from the Georges Bank winter flounder assessment. So basically what you do is you take our survey value and using simple sampling theory, you can estimate if the survey had caught every fish in front of the net while it was towing each one of the tows, you could have a direct estimate of the population. We know that not every fish in front of the net gets caught, and that's what that survey catchability coefficient is. And so using the Georges Bank winter flounder assessment as a guide, the assumption was made that only 60% of the winter flounder that would have been caught were actually caught. Using that value, you can then expand our minimum estimate up to a total population size. Once you have the population size, if you can generate an F proxy, then you multiply the two together to derive a catch. In this case, the FMSY proxy was from a length-based yield per recruit, which seemed quite stable to a variety of sensitivities, making different assumptions about growth and mortality rates. So based on this information, the SSC set the ABC at 1,078 metric tons, and similar to the index-based assessments, held that value constant for all 3 years, with the understanding that it could be revisited as future surveys are conducted. However, the SSC also provided a note of caution that within this particular assessment, there were additional uncertainties due to the sensitivity of the estimate with small changes in the assumed gear efficiency. And so based on that, the SSC suggested it may be advisable to select a more moderate catch than the full ABC of 1,078 metric tons. So what's shown here on the screen is Table 1 of the report. It's probably easier to read off of the documents than off of the screen. And I've just tried to color highlight, which didn't come out as well as I had hoped, the different groups on this slide. So Group 1 was, again, the stocks which have not been assessed since GARM 3. Group 2 were the index-based assessments, and Group 3 were stocks that have been assessed since GARM 3. And in this table, you'll see we provide the 2010 catch just as a point of reference. And then for 2012 through 2014, there are columns for both the OFL and the ABC. In some cases, there are quite large differences between the OFL and ABC, and this is due to the use of an F rebuild instead of a 75% FMSY. To make the comparison between the 2010 catch and the 2012 ABC a little easier to see, these graphs were also presented in the report. And these graphs are the same. All that's done is in the right-hand side, you can see the y-axis is expanded, so you can see some of the smaller stocks a bit easier. It's hard to see them in the left-hand panel. From this graph and from the table, you can see that there are five stocks that have a decrease from the 2010 catch to the 2012 ABC. These are the Gulf of Maine cod, Gulf of Maine haddock, the Georges Bank yellowtail, which on the graph looks nearly identical, and that's because it's 1160 versus 1150, and then the two window panes. For the other 15 stocks, the 2012 ABC is greater than the 2010 catch. That concludes my presentation for the groundfish. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the presentation. I had a question on Eastern Georges Bank cod, which is in truly terrible condition right now. There was a kind of a suggestion from the other side on the TMGC negotiations that in order to stop the fluctuations up and down year to year in the TAC, which, although they're small, the fluctuations can be two to three times, or one-third or one-quarter from year to year, they brought up the possibility of having a threshold below which the you would automatically switch to an index-based assessment with a maximum up and down percentage from year to year in how much we changed it, since it's such a small amount anyway, to sort of even that out. And one of their arguments was that the model reliability is very low at low levels of abundance. And at some point, their argument was that there's some point at which that reliability is so low that you just wind up bouncing around from year to year to the detriment of industry. And I just wanted to ask what you what's your opinion of that from a biological standpoint, ignoring for a moment the regulatory and legal problems with it, but just from strictly from a stock assessment and management point of view, what do you think of that?
Strictly from a biological standpoint, there's a certain amount of sense to that, in that there is uncertainty in all our projections. And assuming that we can dial in the correct catch down to the last kilogram is completely false. The danger with setting a constant catch policy and holding it for long periods of time is that if it is set too high, it will drive the stock down to very low abundance, provided the fishery can continue to increase its F to chase it all the way down, if that's the case. The danger on the other side is setting it too low and foregoing potential yield that could have been had while the stock continues to rebuild.
So basically, there really isn't any way to do that that really makes sense. I'm trying to grasp a jello here. I understand what you're saying about if you set it a little too high, that you drive it even lower. But it seems to be impossible to know with any degree of reliability where that point is. So the supposition is that you would set it on the low side on purpose, but keep it constant. So I don't know that there is an answer. I just wanted to know what you thought of that.
If it is intentionally set on the low side, then I think the potential gains are quite high, and it also provides some stability in terms of knowing what's going to happen in the future.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. A couple of questions. One of your figures, you compared 2010 catch and 2012 ABCs broken down by stock. My question is, the 2010 catch, that includes Canadian catch when there was Canadian catch, right? Right, it's not just U.S. catch. Okay, thank you. The other question relates to your Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder a slide showing the SSC 2012 ABC of 1,150 metric tons. The two figures at the bottom, I'm misunderstanding something. I need you to help me out. You mentioned the left-hand figure that shows the three different ways of estimating the probability of our actually being, a probability of being above the fishing mortality rate of 0.25. And the one curve to the far left indicates that at the 2012 ABC of 1,150 metric tons, the probability is almost 100% that we will be above 0.25. Those are the circles, the line with the circles. I compare that with the figure on the right-hand side, looking at the line with the circles again, and I see that at the 1,150 metric ton value, the dashed vertical line, we actually are seeing a relative change in the median biomass that is positive. Okay. I'm having trouble reconciling that, especially when I look at the triangles and left-hand figure. Triangles show that if we go with that particular curve at 1,150 metric tons, it's an extremely low probability of our being above 0.25. Yet the figure on the right shows that, again, triangles, that we actually find ourselves with a negative change in biomass with that 1,150 metric tons. So I'm trying to reconcile them. I'm obviously misunderstanding something. Would you help me out?
Sure. I think the confusion is caused by the assumption that fishing at an F greater than the FREF or FMSY proxy would cause the stock to necessarily decline. In equilibrium, it will find its balance, but any one particular year, it'll depend upon the cohort strengths of the different year classes coming through. And so you can have the case of the circles where the F is above FREF, yet the population still increases because there happens to be a year class that is not fished that then enters into the biomass and contributes to an increase in the biomass. So, and vice versa, the same way, you can have F below your FREF, but still have a decline in the population if the cohorts coming in are small relative to the ones that are being fished currently.
So the figure on the right-hand side with the triangles, that's an assumption of the cohorts being low, but the figure on the right has the assumption that the cohorts might be strong.
No, it's a fact of the calculation of F is based upon a certain age range versus the calculation of the biomass is based on a different age range. And so it's that mismatch between the two that I think is causing some of the confusion here.
Okay, you've answered my question, which basically is there a conflict? And there is not. They are consistent. Okay, thanks.
Any other council comments, questions? I go to the audience. Ron?
Ron Smolowitz, Fisheries Survival Fund. Through you, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Chris a question regarding the 60%, the catchability coefficient. You said, if I heard correctly, what you used in the Gulf of Maine came from the Georges Bank. And it sounded that you were saying that 60% was the efficiency. And is that the swept area? In other words, including the sweeps and the legs on the trawl? In other words, 60% of the winter flounder in front of the survey trawl, the swept area, are caught?
The wings.
And right, in the wings. Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's the wings. That seems like a very high number to me, especially in Gulf of Maine on a rocky bottom. And I'm wondering what the impact would be if that number was actually 15 to 30%.
The effect of lowering the queue is to increase the stock biomass, which would then increase the ABC.
So I was just wondering where the 60% number came from for Georges Bank.
It came out of the assessment, which was done using a VPA and is an aggregate over all the age classes used within the assessment.
So the last point I'd like to make, Mr. Chairman, is I think that's a very high number, 60%. I know back ages ago when we were working on the Yankee 41 trawl, I mean, we're talking a roller rig net on bottom, boulder bottom, and I would think that that number should be much closer to 15% and not 60%, one quarter of the efficiency that they're currently using.
If I may, just a follow-up, this was using the Bigelow net and not the albatross net.
Further comments from the audience? Back to the committee. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, just to back to that figure again, I'm trying to figure something out. When I go to that figure, actually it's the table now, it says the track catch advice was 900 to 1,400 metric tons. Okay. The TMG negotiated a quota of 900 metric tons. The SSC is recommending an ABC of 1,150 metric tons. So that's halfway in between, right? Okay, so that was purposeful? Okay. So okay. All right, so there's no real science behind it. It's just split the difference. I'm having trouble with that now because there doesn't seem to be any science behind the SSC recommendation if it essentially is go midway between the TMGC negotiated quota and the track catch advice. So.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you meant by split the difference. I was referring to the track advice of 900 to 1,400 metric tons. That's different from the TMGC advice. The TMGC happened to come up with 900, but the difference that I was referring to was the track catch advice, and that 900 to 1,400 was based on balancing the risk of overfishing with stock decline from all three models.
All right, so, I mean, there's a scientific basis for the 900 to 1,400, but the SSC is just giving us the midway point. Okay. Which is... Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Are you ready to continue on with Whiting?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. One more question on that, since we'll be looking at this further tomorrow. So if the track advice was 900 to 1,400 and the SSC knew that, and I want to put words in the report, but it could be 900 and it could be 1,400. It's a range. It could be 900, and that's what the TMGC decided upon, that it's every bit as right to be 900 as 1,400, and the SSC said, you know, pick a number in between,
because you recognize it could be 900 or 1,400. Is that correct?
The SSC wanted to pick a single value because of difficulty with providing ranges that have occurred in the past. And so to pick a value from within that range, the midpoint of that range was felt to be the best balancing of the different risks. But the track recognized that there was, in fact, a range that attempted to balance those risks.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Did the SSC consider the rationale for the TMGC advice before it came up with its number?
The SSC was aware of the TMGC negotiations but did not want to involve itself with international negotiations. And so although there was a brief discussion about it, we decided that that was not a basis, a scientific basis, for us to make a decision. And so we returned to trying to look at the risk of overfishing and probability of rebuilding the stock.
One more.
I'm sorry. Because we'll be discussing this tomorrow, I wanted to reveal myself once again of your presence. Going back to that figure, Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder, the SSC advice is 1,150 metric tons, and you've indicated in that figure on the left-hand side that there's a very low probability of our being above the 0.25 value. Okay, that's at 1,150 metric tons. I'm just wondering, for future reference, such as tomorrow, if we were to say 1,300 metric tons, we can still use that same figure, correct, to estimate the probability of our being above 0.25 with a higher number of, for example, 1,300 metric tons. The figure is there to be used. That's my question.
The information in the figure can be used however you wish it to be used.
How I just stated it, it can be used in that way, correct? I don't want to misunderstand anything or state anything that is incorrect. But my assumption is from that figure that the probability of exceeding 0.25 with a higher amount of catch in 2012, let's say 1,300 metric tons, not 1,150, would be around 10%. As opposed to about 5% at the 1,150 metric tons. Correct interpretation?
That's correct for two of the models. For the third model, it would increase from 90-something percent to 100%.
Right, but you're not, the SSC is not advising us to use that particular model, correct? You're advising us to use the other two that result in the 1,150.
That's not correct. We were considering all three models and trying to say that there is a trade-off between the two. The model that has the high risk of overfishing also has a probability of increasing the stock size. One of the models that has a low risk of overfishing also has a substantial or a probability of the stock declining. And so taking all of that into account, we set the ABC at 1,150 metric tons.
Right. You're referencing the figure on the right-hand side. Okay. Well, I use the same figure, and at 1,300 metric tons, I see we do not have a negative change in the medium biomass. So it seems to be a value that could be considered. It's not the SSC advice, obviously, but if I was in the SSC, I might have also said 1,300 would be in the ballpark, since we're using both figures, and we don't get a negative change of biomass, and we still have a low probability of exceeding 0.25. All right. Thank you. You've been very helpful.
Waiting.
Okay. Thank you. This next report is regarding the whiting for red hake, silver hake, and offshore hake. So, again, our request was very direct to recommend acceptable biological catch for the two red hake stocks, which are northern and southern, the two silver hake stocks, northern and southern, and the offshore hake stock. In April, we provided the Whiting PDT with some methods guidance based on a range of different approaches they had brought to us. And in August, we set the ABCs. So during SARC 51, the Whiting were addressed, all five stocks, and despite considerable effort at getting analytical assessments accepted, again, the data were too much in conflict to allow analytical assessments to be accepted, and so an index-based approach was selected for the red hake and silver hake. So for the red and silver hake, the BMSY proxy was selected from the survey during a stable period. And this was this time period for red hake was 1980 to 2010, and for silver hake was 1973 to 1982. What are plotted in the graphs are the two silver hake figures of the survey abundance over time, and the green shaded area just shows the 1973 to 1982 period for reference. The FMSY proxy was selected from an AIM analysis, or an index method analysis, which relates the change in survey abundance to changes in catch. And for silver hake, it was determined from the relative exploitation index, which is just the catch divided by the survey abundance, from the period 1973 to 1982. To estimate stock status, the current biomass in F were compared to these proxies, and the current values were determined as three-year moving averages. So based on these comparisons between the current and the reference points, all four stocks of red and silver hake in the north and south were determined to be not overfished, and overfishing was not occurring. So the ABC method that was recommended by the SSC to the PDT based on the range of possibilities that they brought to us accounted for uncertainty in both the FMSY proxy and the current biomass. And again, this is because to calculate the ABC or the OFL, you just multiply the FMSY and the current biomass estimate. Of note here is that the more uncertainty you have in either the FMSY or the current biomass, it means a lower ABC for a given probability of overfishing. And so these two figures just show a hypothetical example where the OFL is set to 100 metric tons or whatever units they are. And the distribution shows what a small amount of uncertainty looks like on the left-hand panel compared to a large amount of uncertainty on the right-hand panel. In both cases, the shaded blue region shows a 25% probability of overfishing. And so you can see that for a given probability of overfishing, 25% in this case, the ABC is set close to 100, up in a little over 90 in the left-hand panel when the uncertainty is low, and is set somewhere down around 70 in the right-hand panel when uncertainty is high. This difference between the ABC and the OFL is referred to in some arenas as the buffer to account for scientific uncertainty. So a few caveats before I get to our recommendation. The first one is that because there is not an analytical assessment for any of these stocks, we cannot conduct a true risk analysis. We cannot conduct projections that compare the trade-off in risk of overfishing or foregone yield under different catch scenarios into the future. All we have are, for this assessment, are observations of our survey and an estimate of our FMSY proxy. For Silverhake, there is some additional concern that was raised in the SARC by the PDT and by the SSC of the concept of uncertainty and bias. Uncertainty is just greater range of possibilities. Bias is a directional form of uncertainty. And one of the concerns is that the years selected for the reference point result in a relatively high OFL relative to other possible choices that could have been made for those years to be used in the reference point. And so in the right-hand panels, the PDT examined what would the distribution of OFL look like under a range of different years used to determine the reference point. And you can see the leftmost value is the one that's used for the status determination, and that's, in fact, the highest value. It gives you the highest OFL in the current year. But any of the other years, basically as you shift that window further to the right in time, closer to the present, you see the OFL decreases and decreases fairly dramatically over time. There was concern expressed amongst all three groups, the SARC, the PDT, and the SSC, that there might be a change in productivity for Silverhake. This is because we've seen some slight increases in the indices. We've seen dramatic declines in the catch relative to when the foreign fleets were here, yet we still observe very few old fish. So there's an inconsistency, and this inconsistency is what led to the inability to derive an analytical assessment for the Silverhake. And finally, the last caveat is that the range of ABCs that are supplied here imply a sudden large increase in catch for some of the stocks. Based on past experience, the SSC notes that a large sudden increase in catch, five to ninefold in some cases, in the past has been associated with later being determined to be overfishing occurring, and suggest a gradual increase might be a better way to go about making these changes. So the SSC recommendation, instead of providing a single value for each of the four red and silver hake stocks, we've presented a table with ranges. And this is because we did not have guidance on the risk tolerance of the council. And so what we are providing to you is a table that allows you to choose the ABC based upon your risk tolerance. The SSC has highlighted a row in each case of what we suggest might be a good value to choose, but any of the non-crosshatched values can be selected by the council. And the reason some are crosshatched are for the Silverhake's concern about the change in productivity, the concern about the actual reference point being used, and the concern that there doesn't seem to be as many old fish as we would expect there to be out in the population. Finally, for the offshore hake, the SSC recommends setting a combined southern silver hake and offshore hake ABC, which would be calculated as 1.04 times the council selected ABC for southern silver hake. What this does is it recognizes the fact that offshore hake is a small component of the mixed fishery for southern silver hake and offshore hake. Approximately 4% historically on average over time. and that the ability to identify offshore hake versus southern silver hake in the catch is not very high. So for red hake, the table that is presented in the SSC report is reproduced here, and you can see that any percentile of OFL up to 50% is possible, and that's the first column, those percentiles ranging from 5 to 50. The second column shows the associated ABC. So at the 50th percentile, the ABC would be set equal to the OFL, and there would be no buffer for scientific uncertainty between the two. The third column is the probability that the ABC will result in an F greater than the 50th, than the median FMSY. And then the final four columns just compare the ABC to percentages of different measures of current catch. So the first of the four columns is the 2010 catch. So a value of 100% would mean that it's exactly equal to the 2010 catch. A value less than 100% would mean it's a decrease. A value greater than 100% would mean it's an increase. Similarly, for the three-year average would be 2008 through 2010 average catches that were observed. Five-year average would be 2006 to 2010, and 10-year average would be 2001 to 2010. These are provided to try to, again, put into context what the ABC recommendation is relative to different measures of recent catch. For red hake, the SSC is suggesting the use of the 30th percentile of the OFL, which for the northern red hake results in 244 metric tons, and for southern red hake results in 3,063 metric tons. This suggestion is based on the uncertainty in the assessment and acknowledges that these assessments are simply looking at our survey indices over time and acknowledging that the values can change, bounce up and down. Although they do track stock abundance, there is some noise in that signal that comes from our surveys. However, the full range from 5 to 50 is presented for the Council's consideration. For silver hake, as I mentioned before, there are two rows here which are crosshatched out, and these are the 40th and 50th percentiles of OFL. And the SSC thought there was potential of bias in this assessment due to the reasons I mentioned already, and that therefore setting the ABC equal to or even quite close to the OFL would be not advisable. And so has removed those from consideration and has suggested that for silver hake, a 25% percentile of the OFL would be more appropriate. Note that this is a little lower than the red hake, and this is also due to the concerns of potential bias in the silver hake relative to the red hake. For both the northern and southern stocks, all of the values presented in this table represent large increases relative to any of the measures of recent catch. And that concludes my presentation of the Whiting Report. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Council, any questions? Dave Gatel.
Yeah. I got a question on the northern red hake. I
I basically haven't believed the stock assessment since it came out. And the reason is that as an individual, one boat, 5 weeks, I catch somewhere around three-quarters of the proposed landing limit for next year. In the interest of full disclosure, my son Daniel's a PhD student. Chris is one of his, on his technical committee, and so is Steve Cadman. And so I wrote to Daniel, and you know, because Daniel spent most of the summer packing between a ton and a half and 3 tons of these things a day into boxes. And he sent me a paper on the use and abuse of fisheries models. That was his response, which I can provide to the council. But it really doesn't help us much. It says we should apply common sense, and unfortunately, the Magnuson Act doesn't have a section on common sense. It probably should have. So anyway, then I wrote to Steve Cadran to ask about, to explain this risk tolerance thing. And because I don't think, you're not going to be here tomorrow, right? Okay, well, I'm going to ask you to comment on it so that we can get a range of opinions here. Steve sent me a fairly lengthy email. I'll just read pieces of it into the record. He started by saying, deriving the ACL from the nominal catch is a recurrent problem, and a comparison of your catch with the Red Hake ACL is a good example of the problem. And then he goes on to say, refer me to the SAW 51 document and the issue of nominal catch and the fact that we're probably underestimating the catch in this fishery because nobody's really looked at it very closely. And that's noted quite clearly on pages 42 and 43 for anybody who wants to reference it. And he goes on to say, the risk tolerance issue is critically important and should be considered independently of the uncertain catch issue, i.e. lower risk because of underestimated catch is not the precautionary approach. And he compares it to scallops and says the cost of overfishing scallops is much greater than the cost of overfishing red hake, and the cost of underfishing the entire demersal stock complex to achieve low risk of overfishing red hake is a poorly conceived proposal. And then he goes on to say to me, and this is his advice, I'd remind everyone that risk tolerance is a council decision, not a PDT or SSC decision. And he suggested his solution was to pick the ABC associated with the 50% risk, which is 314 metric tons, and that would give us a catch about equal to last year, which is probably still an underestimation. Because, again, there, you know, a lot of these fish are not sold through normal channels. So I'd kind of like you to comment on that. The council tomorrow is going to have to do this risk assessment. I don't think they really understand the concept.
I don't know how to comment on the difference between your perception of the catch and the catches being used in the assessment. That was part of the SARC review, and those are the numbers we have, and so that's what we used. In terms of how to determine risk for this particular case, as I mentioned in the caveat section, we don't have a model that allows us to compare the trade-offs of fishing now versus risk of being overfished later. And so that puts the council in a very difficult spot, frankly, trying to come up with a risk policy. All we can provide is the probability of overfishing given different catches, and that's what are provided in this table. We as an SSC have provided the values from 5 all the way up to 50%, and so that is a possible value that can be chosen by the council. My only caution is that in effect ignores any uncertainty in the assessment that we have. And so at the 50% level, if we go back to this little diagram, it doesn't matter how much uncertainty you have. If you always set ABC and OFL the same, that uncertainty could be however big you want, and you would never have and accounting for it, and so your risks would actually be, I think, much greater than if you had a very precise assessment.
Anyone else on the council? Paul.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Doctor, if you go to the Silver Hake, I just want to see if I get this right. If you look in the yellow, which is the one that's highlighted by the SSC, if you look at what was caught in 2010, it's the number 13,177 metric tons is about five times what's been caught for the last decade, what's been landed. So in other words, that 532%, if the council chose that, that's five times what's being landed now. Is that correct?
That's
roughly,
correct.
Roughly.
For the last decade, it would be compared to the 10-year average, which would be seven times.
724. And so we're late on getting whiting in to meet our mandate because it was a data-poor stock, and we had very, very little information. And yet the scientific advice we're going to get is to, even though we have very little information, the advice is going to be, you know, you can pick a number five to seven times what's been landed, even though we don't have very much information on this stock. I don't quite get that.
That's exactly the point of our third caveat that I presented there, that suddenly making a large fivefold increase in the catch is a very risky proposition, especially, as you said, given that we don't have full assessments here. These are index-based assessments, and so there is a chance that these could then later be found to be too high, and you could then have to scale back the fishery after suddenly increasing it. And so the SSC is suggesting that a gradual increase towards these levels with getting feedback along the way would be a better way to address this situation than to suddenly increase the catch all at once.
Is there any type of internet? I heard once from scientists that with data poor stocks and a lot of unknowns and uncertainty, the best thing to do or the common practice is to cap landings and cap effort and then watch it. Did the SSC discuss that at all or not?
We did not discuss that particular approach, but we did discuss problems that we as a body had observed in other fisheries when sudden large increases in catch were made. And in those situations, oftentimes, those large sudden increases were found to not be desirable later on.
Jim.
Chris, I have one question about the Silver Hake table, and the it has to do with when you have the percentile at 50 in that row, and then if you go to the third column, which has the probability that ABC is greater than 50th percentile of FMSY, it's 0.52, and similarly, it's close. They're close to 0.5 in the for both the north and the south, where the numbers match. But when I look at the Red Hake table, if you look at the top table, the 50th percentile in the first column matches up with a 0.37 in the third column. And I'm not understanding why that's so different than 0.5.
I believe the reason for that is that in the calculation in the third column, the median FMSY was different than the point estimate of FMSY that was used in the calculation of the percentile OFL. And so I believe there's a different measure of central tendency used in the two columns.
Anyone else? Thank you. And thank you for all the work that the SSC has been doing on all of these issues. We will just take a quick break while we get set up for scallops.